الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى في القرآن المجيد والفرقان الحميد أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لقد كان لكم في رسول الله أسوة حسنة لمن كان يرجو الله واليوم الآخر وذكر الله كثيرا صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders, beloved brothers in Islam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has certainly blessed us and favored us by making us from amongst the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Time and again in the Quran Majeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reminds us of the special favor that you have been blessed with. لَقَدْ مَنَّ اللَّهُ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِينَ إِذْ بَعَثَ فِيهِمْ رَسُولًا مِّنْ أَنفُسِهِمْ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored the believers by sending Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to us. Being part of this Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam comes with his duties and with his responsibilities. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent as a guide to us and as a perfect example. In the ayat which I recited, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions that indeed for you in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the perfect and the complete example. To bring about the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and to bring about those guidelines that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has shown to us completely and totally into our lives. We find that the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, each in every aspect of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in it there is a lesson, not only for those that were present in the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but each ummati of this ummat of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to come right till the day of Qiyamah, there is a lesson in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. One of the important aspects of the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the akhlaq and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. To conduct oneself and to carry out oneself in the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carried himself out. And in the way that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam wants us to carry ourselves out. It is so important that in one hadith Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions, Inna min khiyarikum ahsanukum akhlaqan. That verily the best of you, the best amongst you is the one who has the best akhlaq, the best character, the best conduct, the one who carries himself in the best manner. You find that many incidents in the life of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated people, those that harmed him and those that attacked him and those that caused difficulty to them, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treated them the total opposite. It was the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions that sil man qata'ak, the one who wants to cut off, the one who wants to break off relationship with you, sil, you join with them, wa'fu amman zalamak, and forgive the one who oppresses you, wa ahsin ila man asa'a ilayk, and do good to the one who does wrong to you, who does bad to you, the one who harms you, do good to him. In the time of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to write letters to many leaders inviting them to Islam. One such leader was Sumama bin Uthal. He used to come from a country, an area called Yamama. When this letter of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam reached him, so Sumama, not only did he dispose of that letter, but he became an open enemy of Islam. He began harming Sahaba. He even murdered some Sahaba. When this news reached Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became very grieved and upset also. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that now if Sumama has to be captured, then his blood is now lawful. Because of the harm that he has caused, he has killed Sahaba, he has become an open enemy of Islam, and he has waged, in a certain way, he has waged war against Islam. It so happened that Sumama bin Uthal was once on his way to Makkatul Mukarrama to offer pilgrimage. He was a very, very powerful leader, and he used to come from a very prosperous and fruitful land. His farms, his crops were such that they used to supply the Arabian Peninsula. Makkatul Mukarrama was dependent on the food that used to come from Yamama. Makkah, as we know, is a barren land. Not many things grow there. So they were dependent on what Sumama bin Uthal used to supply them from Yamama. So whilst he was on his way to Makkatul Mukarrama, as he is passing by the borders of Madina Munawwara, the Sahaba see him, and not knowing who he is, they feared perhaps this person is trying to attack Medina. So they capture him and they bring him into the masjid. And they tie him to a pillar at the back of the masjid. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he comes into the masjid in the morning, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees this person tied to the pillar in the back of the masjid. And he is very, very surprised. So he asked the Sahaba, that do you know who you have captured? They replied that no, we see this person passing by the borders, and we captured him and brought him to the masjid. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells them that this is Sumama, the open enemy of Islam, the murderer and the killer of Sahaba. But what Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does thereafter, and how Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam treats him thereafter, a killer, a murderer of Sahaba, an open enemy of Islam. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches humanity an example. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam tells the Sahaba that let me now take care of him. And every day, from the own Mubarak home of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to bring food and present it in front of Sumama. And thereafter Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to inquire from him, that, oh Sumama, how is your condition? What is your condition? And every day, on three consecutive days, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam brought food from his own Mubarak home, presented in front of Sumama, inquired from him that how is your condition? And on three consecutive days, he gave the very same reply, that if you kill me, then you are killing such a person whose blood is lawful. You are justified in killing me. I have done wrong, and you have full reason to take my life. But, O Nabi of Allah, if you set me free and you allow me to go, then you will find me to be very, very thankful and appreciative to what you do. So for 3 days, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam leaves him in the masjid. And on the third day, after inquiring from him that how is his condition, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam releases him and sets him free. It says, you are free to go. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam allows him to go. Sumama, he was a very, very powerful and strong leader. He leaves Masjid al-Nabawi, and as he's coming out from Madina Munawwara, there was a pond on the outskirts of Medina. He goes to this pond, he washes himself, and thereafter comes back to Masjid al-Nabawi. And in the presence of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Sahaba, loudly proclaims the Shahada, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluh. And thereafter he tells Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that, O Nabi of Allah, before this incident of mine, I hated this deen of Islam. I was an open enemy of Islam. I murdered Sahaba. After today, this is the most beloved deen to me. Similarly, the city of Medina was the most hated city in my eyes. After today, it is the most beloved city. O Nabi of Allah, Your name, the mention of your name, it was the most hated name to me. Your face was the most hated face to me. After today, it is the most beloved to me. And he accepts Islam. How did he accept Islam? Out of the akhlaq and the conduct shown to him by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And thereafter, it does not end there. When he goes back to Yamama, he now begins imposing sanctions upon Makkah al-Mukarramah. He stops supply. He cuts off all supply to them. Whatever food they had, whatever grain, whatever he was supplying them, now he stops supplying them. And Makkah was going through a difficult time. There was drought, there was a shortage of food. Because of it, now there was hunger in Makkah al-Mukarramah. But who do they turn to? We know the difficulty that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had experienced when leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such harm the kuffar of Makkah had caused to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such difficulty that when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with a heavy heart was leaving Makkah al-Mukarramah, then as he turns en route to Madinah Munawwara and a certain hilltop, he is able to see the entire city. He turns around and he addresses the city of Makkah and he says, "Oh Makkah, you are such a beautiful city, the city of his birth. You are a city that is most beloved to me. Had it not been your inhabitants driving me, forcing me out, I would never ever have left you." And with this difficulty, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes hijrah to Madinah Munawwara. And it did not end there. They still continued harming Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. War upon war was fought thereafter. But despite all this, they still knew the akhlaq and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They still knew the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They still knew about the Mubarak way of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And now when they are going through this difficulty, they turn back to none other than Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Their own Nabi of Allah, your Sumama, your person, your Sahabi, he now became a Sahabi. He has caused us this difficulty. As a result, we are going through shortages of food. O Nabi of Allah, intercede on our behalf to Sumama. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rahmatun lil alameen sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Despite all that transpired and took place, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam does not hold anything against them. He addresses and he writes to Sumama that, "Oh Sumama, this is not our way. This is not the teachings of Islam and Deen." Sumama, taking the instruction of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, once again resumes supplies to Makkah al-Mukarramah. Friends and elders, this was the akhlaq and the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is the teaching that we have to adopt. The kuffar, the non-believers, they do not know about our salat. They do not come into contact with what we are doing in the masjid, or the ibadah that we are making at home, or the tilawat of the Quran and Majid, and our other acts of ibadah that we are doing, which is very, very important. But the kuffar are not exposed to it. And even if they are exposed to it, they will not understand it. But what do they come into contact with? And what do they experience from us? Is our akhlaq and our character. How we present ourselves towards them. Once Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi, a Majusi, a fire worshipper, he was owing him some money. So Imam Abu Hanifa, rahmatullah alayhi, goes to this person to go and collect the money that was owed to him. So on his way, he stepped upon some impurity, some najasat, and this became stuck onto his sandal. So when Imam Abu Hanifa reaches the home of that Majusi, he takes off his sandal and he hits it against the wall of that fire worshipper. So that najasat, that impurity now, from his shoe gets stuck onto that wall. Now Imam Abu Hanifa is very worried that they have damaged this person's wall, it's stuck there. So he knocks on the door, the servant comes. So Imam Abu Hanifa tells the servant that, "Go and call your master and tell him that Abu Hanifa, his name was Nu'man bin Thabit, has come. So the Majusi, the owner, knew now that Imam Abu Hanifa has come to collect my money, collect his money. And he was unable to pay, he did not have the money at that time. So when he comes to the door, immediately he begins rattling off excuses why he is unable to pay it. And he does not have the money to pay. So Imam Abu Hanifa stops him immediately and tells him that don't worry about the money. I have a far greater problem than the money that you're owing me. And Imam Abu Hanifa shows him the wall. He sees his wall. I have damaged your wall. This impurity is stuck. If you have to remove it, perhaps it might remove some of your plaster or your paint. This Majusi, this fire worshipper, was so shocked at the conduct of Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi that he tells Imam Abu Hanifa, and this struck him, and he tells Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi that you are worried about the impurity on the wall. Let's first worry about the impurity in my heart, referring to the impurity of kufr. Let's get rid of the impurity that is in my heart, the impurity of kufr. And he recites the kalima. This was the akhlaq and the conduct that he was, Imam Abu Hanifa had displayed to him. And this is what affected him. And this is what brought him and drew him closer to Islam. Of his ummah Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we have the perfect guide, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have to also bring about the teaching of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The best of you is the one who is the best in character. How we treat others, how we speak to others, how we treat those around us, all at every moment of time, let us ponder and reflect that are we bringing about the akhlaq and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa mentioned that silman qata'ak, the one who does wrong to you, the one who wants to break off with you, the one who wants to break off with you, he does not intend good, he has bad intentions. He wants to distance himself from you, but you join with him. This was the akhlaq and the character of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And this is what brought people close to Islam. Wa'afu amman zalamat. Many a times, there are people that do wrong to you. Many a times, a person, he only intends harm, and he only intends wrong. He always wants to do something wrong and something evil to you. And many a times, a person becomes affected by what is told by him. The more it will be difficult for you. So forgive that person, let it go. Allah Ta'ala mentions in the Quran Majid that فَعْفُوا وَلْيَسْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ وَلْيَعْفُوا وَلْيَسْفَحُوا أَلَا تُحِبُّونَ أَن يَغْفِرُ اللَّهُ لَكُمْ. That each and every one of us, we want the forgiveness of Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala. We want Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to look at His mercy on the day of Qiyamah. We want Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala to forgive us. And we want Allah Ta'ala to overlook our shortcomings. But are we prepared to forgive our next fellow Muslim brother, the one that did the wrong to us, the one that did harm us? We find it difficult to forgive that person, but we want the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Ala tuhibbuna ay yaghfira Allahu lakum. Do you not love that Allah forgives you? So we want the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We want the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Let us also make it upon ourselves to forgive insan for their shortcomings and overlook them. وَأَحْسِنْ إِلَىٰ مَنْ أَسَعَى إِلَيْكَ. And the one who does wrong to you, the one who harms you, the one who causes problem towards you, you do good towards them. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for us to bring about the akhlaq and the conduct of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and to treat insan kindly, to treat humanity kindly, to be a source of goodness for humanity. وَآخِرُ دَوَانًا الْحَمْدُ لِلَّهِ رَبِّ